I remember the first 10K run that I ran, and so the gun went off, bang, and I just took off like a jackrabbit. I felt so good being in front of everybody for the first 100 yards. And then I could not breathe, and I started gasping because, you see, I was really prepared for the first 100 yards. But this is 6.2 miles. So after about the first mile, I am gasping for breath. By the second mile, women and children are passing me.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. You know, God has a plan for each and every one of us, and it's a good plan. But there are certain responsibilities that He leaves up to us. Today, Pastor Wayne will help us understand the part we play in shaping our destiny. Here he is with a message entitled, Your Future is in Today.
We can trace much of our faith back to someone's obedience. For example, in the Old Testament, even in Genesis, we read about Abraham, who was given a promise of a future. However, his heart began to be distracted, and he began to take his affections, which belonged to God, and put it on his son, Isaac. And though that's not wrong in itself, it was distracting him from not wanting to fulfill God's assignment for his life, just to kind of sit with his son here. And the Lord said, no, that's going to be dangerous, because you have more at stake than just a future. It's the future of the nations of Israel because of the faith that you're going to inaugurate. And so he said, I want you to give up your son Isaac. Well, in obedience to the Lord, he did the sacrifice of Isaac. Well, God, as you know, didn't want Isaac. He wanted the return of Abraham's heart. And as soon as Abraham's heart turned back to God, he says, you don't need to do that to Isaac. I don't want Isaac. Here's a ram caught in a bush, sacrifice the ram. I wanted your heart, not your son. And because Abraham was obedient to the Lord that day, all of the nation of Israel was freed, and they received the faith that we have inherited today. In fact, at the top of our notes, let's take a look as we read together out of Genesis 22 and verse 18. Because he was obedient, Abraham's blessings comes down to us. Let's read it. Ready? Go. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Your future lay in today's obedience, Abraham. And because you obeyed, now there will be fruit for generations yet to come. Your future is in today. And I want to talk about that. You see, because of his obedience, we, along with Israel, have had the opportunity to enter into the blessings of God. How little do we realize that much of our future is linked to what we do today? We can either, like Abraham, release our futures to be what God designed it to be, or we can forfeit it. Many of you have heard about Jim Baker and how, with a PTL club, everything seemed to be going well. But because his compromises and he didn't obey God, he spent years in prison. He lost his marriage. He lost his family. He lost his ministry. He lost everything. His future, which could have been good, was forfeited because of his lack or his compromise. You say, but Wayne, doesn't God warn us, though, when we're going off? Absolutely. Doesn't he speak to us? Absolutely. The question is not, does God speak? The question is, do we listen? Well, in the New Testament, there's actually a parable or a story about this, and I'm going to read it to you out of Matthew chapter 25, and then we'll have portions of it, but it's in our notes. But let me read it to you out of Matthew 25. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, Matthew 25, verses 1, and I'm going to read all the way through 13. And it speaks about this. It says this, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Or these are young ladies that are there at a wedding feast for their friend who's getting married. "Now 5 of them were foolish, 5 were prudent or wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them." In those days, they had to bring their own light because it was getting into it towards the evening. "But they took no oil with them, just what they had. Now the prudent took oil in flasks," or extra, "along with their lamps." Now, While the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and fell asleep. But about midnight, there was a shout. And behold, the bridegroom, they said, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet them. So all of these arose, their servants, and trimmed their lamps. Now the foolish, the ones that didn't bring oil with them, said to the wise, hey, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. And the wise said, no, they're not going to be enough for both of us. So instead, you go to the dealers, just like we did. Go to the dealer and buy some for yourself. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. Now those who were ready went in with him into the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Now later the others came and said, Lord, open the door up for us. And he said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13 says, be on the alert, for you do not know the day or the hour. Well, we're going to pull some lessons of life out of this parable today. And you know, what he's saying, first of all, is this. All of us have a timeline, don't we? All of us. We have a timeline in our life to accomplish what God has for us. And where we are today, we don't know where on this time continuum, if this is the beginning and this is the end, we don't know exactly where we are. It doesn't mean it's chronological that this is at a certain age, because it could be here, here, here. We don't know where we are in this line. And so the Bible says, be on the alert. So how then do we prepare so that what God has for us comes to pass and that we don't get caught short at the end? Well, the first is, would you write in your notes, number one, it's wise, as we see the wise servants, it is wise to think ahead. It is wise to think ahead. How do you release your future? How do you become all that God created you to be? The first is think ahead. Think ahead. It says, and let's read together, Matthew 25, go. And five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Think ahead. It's always wise to get the lay of the land before you explore. It's always important to get the context of a class before you sign up for it, or the correct view of life before you journey. And what God is saying here, need to get the correct lay of the land, because too many of us don't plan for the full scope of life. You see, we just plan for the first part. For example, if you're going on a 3-day hike, you don't take just one Coke bottle of water, because you have enough for the morning, but then you're stuck. You may lose your life. Or if you're going to take a big exam, it's 10 chapters long, but you study really good for the first chapter, and then you watch TV the rest of the time. But you really study good for the first chapter. Is that enough? If you put a dollar's worth of gas in your car and you're going to go around the island, you're going to break down in Kahuku and you're in trouble, especially if you howling. You're in trouble. I remember the first 10K, the 6.2-mile run that I ran, and it was the first one. And so I was all excited. You know, I bought these, you know, BBDs that are silky and all of the stuff, and I was ready to go. And so the gun went off, bang, and I just took off like a jackrabbit. I felt so good being in front of everybody for the first 100 yards. And then I could not breathe. It's like God turned off the air supply. And I started gasping because, you see, I was really prepared for the first 100 yards. But this is 6.2 miles. So after about the first mile, I am gasping for breath. By the second mile, women and children are passing me. By the third mile, the halt, the lame, and the weary were going by. By the time the race was done, I was dead last. I don't know if you understand how humiliated that was. I started first. I ended last. Because I planned for the first 100 yards. God is saying, think ahead, which means think into eternity, what your eternal purposes are for this. If you just plan this far, you'll miss it. If you take a look and plan way ahead, then you begin to get a good scope of the land. You think, I've got an eternal purpose for this. Now you're wiser. Now there's a sense of urgency in your life. Like the young man that came to this elder pastor and said, "Whoo! I'm a young businessman. I'm going to make just $1 million. He said, good. And then what? He said, I'm going to buy me a nice car. Good. And then what? I'm going to buy me a big old house. Good. And then what? Well, I'm going to have a family. Oh, good. And then what? He said, well, I'll retire. Good. And then what? I'll have grandkids. Good. And then what? Oh, I'll get old. Good. And then what? I'll die. And the wise man said, good. And then what? You see, a lot of us plan far too short. It is wise to think ahead. You know, a friend of mine is dying of cancer. I just went to a funeral on the other island for a pastor friend of mine's son. And every time someone dies, the urgency within me rises like the incoming tide. Because we have no idea when God's going to call our number. We've all been told He will, but we have not been told when. You see, in this story, we have a contrast between wise and foolish. The wise were prepared and they thought ahead, so they got an eternal spin on their assignment. The foolish didn't think ahead. And the result was that the foolish ones never entered into what the kingdom of heaven had planned for them, because the Bible says the door was shut. And then the Lord reminds us and He says, be on the alert, for you don't know the day or the hour. None of us do. And how often I'm freshly reminded that I must not procrastinate like the five foolish ones who thought that they could wait until the end and then catch up. Can't do it. Well, what causes this kind of procrastination? Would you write in your notes the bullet? A lack of urgency breeds procrastination. A lack of urgency. Or you think, I've got lots of time. No problem. I don't need to plan ahead. I'll just go from day to day. And we lose a sense of urgency. Let's read this scripture out of Matthew. Ready? Go. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. And the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. They procrastinated. Let's read the next one. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. We don't know when God is going to say, you're done. So what God is saying is we've got to be prepared. And our response today is critical for what's going to happen in the future. You see, the foolish ones thought no big deal. But what they didn't know is, would you write in bullet number two, that much of my future is hidden in what I do today. Much of my future. You see, the future of the foolish ones were hidden in what they were about to do. And because they procrastinated, what happened to their future? The door was shut. Right now, people, listen. There is so much potential in this room. I cannot explain to you the amount of futures that are in this room. But our obedience to the King of Kings every day will either cause a door to be shut on it or release it. Your future is in today. That's why it's so important that the Bible says that God invites us to be in a daily relationship with Him. Hearing Him every day, what shall I do? Because much of your future lies in what I do today. Let's read this next scripture. Ready? Go. The prudent answered, saying, go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was, listen to this, when the wise servants gave forethought and bought extra oil, they took a hold of their future. When they felt in their hearts, oh, we got to go to the market, pay the price for the oil. When they did and took the time to do that, they unlocked their future that they didn't even know about yet. But they unlocked it. When they took time to buy that oil, inconvenienced themselves to carry the flasks of extra oil, to go out of their way to do that. They release their potential and they set their futures in motion. You see, like Abraham, that says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Listen, like Abraham, the best thing I can do for my family is to obey God today. The best thing I can do for my wife is to obey God today. The best thing I can do for my generations to come is to obey God today. Not please them or spoil them. Obey God today. And as he said to Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Why? Because you have what? Obeyed my voice. The best legacy I can leave for my children is to be obedient to God today, because the best thing I can do for my tomorrows is to obey him today. You know, I wonder how many people will never take a hold of their futures because I don't obey him today. Because if we wait till the future comes, then obey, it's too late. So much of my future lies in today, and my obedience to what God's saying today will release it. You know, I was thinking, what if Zacchaeus, remember that short story of that short guy? What, he's Portuguese. What if Zacchaeus didn't climb up into that sycamore tree? What if he thought, he wouldn't have heard God say to him, today I'm going to dine with you. But he felt prompted, he went up there, and God used that. You know, I'm wondering how many of the disciples would have lost their future if when the Lord said, follow me, they said later. Follow me, I don't know. What would have happened to their futures? It had shut. But because they said yes, what happened? It all opened. I remember going down to a conference, and I've shared it with you before, Expo 72. The Lord just spoke to my heart and said, go. You know, I didn't have any money. I booked myself on an airplane, took the last of whatever I could scrounge up, went down there, and it was there that speaker, it was Billy Graham, actually called and said, all of you that God is speaking to about going into the ministry, stand up. I was 19 years old. I remember standing up. And I can trace much of what God has done in my life back to that time where that day I stood up and I said, I will obey. And my future was released to me. You see, much of your future lies in the decisions of obedience you make today. See, would you write in number two, God is able to release my destiny by obeying what God is saying. Able to release my destiny by obeying what God is saying. The scripture says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Did you know that God has a future and a hope for you, every single one of you? The question is, how much do you want that to be released? Lots. Then you must obey him. Do exactly what he says. Because I can destroy it or I can release it. My future lies in my obedience today. In fact, he says this in Jeremiah 29:11. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. Would you circle the words future and a hope? You know, God is going to be speaking to you this year about your marriage, about your devotion, about your children, about your finances, about the way that you handle attitudes, about your initiative, or maybe about our complacency, our compromise. But whatever God speaks to you about today, hear him, because much of your future lies in today. What am I going to do? There's a person that we've been working with, and it's just a wonderful story of a miracle, and I'd love for him to share it with you sometime as a church. But he and his wife is pregnant, and but they're having marital problems at the same time, and so they just are going to call it quits and just get a divorce. And but God just did a wonderful miracle, and even though he had the divorce papers signed and it had been delivered to his wife, God spoke to his heart, reeled him back in, and he said, I will obey you, Lord. Even though I'm going the wrong way, I will obey you. Almost like Abraham, I will obey you. And everything is now coming back together. There's a wonderfulness that's happened. He's just a miracle person. His heart has completely changed. I was talking to somebody today, and they said, wow, isn't it neat to see a marriage saved? And I said, you know, more than a marriage has been saved, a future has been saved. That mother has a baby on the inside. That was a future that was saved because a man chose to be obedient. Do you understand? He didn't just save a marriage. He saved a future. Huge difference. And the same is true with you and me. We don't realize what lies in this place in your future. You just don't know. But I do know this. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. Do you see? I know it's good. So by my being obedient to the Lord today, it will open up my future for tomorrow, because He promised that to me. And we might not just be saving marriage, we're saving a future. Not just saving a relationship, you're saving a future. And when you begin to understand that, then you begin to understand the cross. When Jesus obeyed the Father, and it released our future. Do you understand how precious the cross is? So when we take communion, we are saying, God, You gave us back our futures that was stolen by the enemy. You gave us back our future. And the Lord is saying, yes. And you know the cup that you're taking? That's a cup of what? Forgiveness. You know what God is saying? Whenever you sense Me speaking to you and you obey like Abraham, even though you're going the wrong way, if you will obey Me, I will give you back your future. I paid for that on the cross. Is that cool or what? He's already purchased the authority to give you back your future if you will repent and turn to the Lord. And the Bible says this, what the locust has eaten, what the stripping locust has taken away, I will restore, saith the Lord. And that's the good news of the cross. That's why I often say, it doesn't matter how far you travel, don't go far from the cross, because I need the cross to turn back to. And it is then that I don't just save my life, I save my future. I don't just save this relationship, I save my future, my children's future. And then He said to Abraham, in your seed, all the nations will be blessed because you, what? Obeyed My voice. There'll be many other decisions that God's going to be asking of you with your, as I said, maybe your devotion, taking initiative to get involved. Your future may just be waiting to be unwrapped in that decision. Some of you in your marriage, some of you with your children, it might require a letter that you would write for forgiveness or asking for forgiveness. Maybe the change of just the way you think, to set aside some critical defense mechanisms and receive an open heart. Just the decision of that one thing may begin your whole to unleash your whole destiny. On the bottom of your notes there, you'll see four things that I must do before the King comes, before the Bridegroom arrives, before the Lord calls my number, because we know not the day or the hour. What are those things that you need to do? It may be as close to home as your marriage. It may be as far as becoming a part of the mission teams. It could be as near as your children, as your heart, as the way you've been thinking. Some of the things you need to prune out. Some of the things that you've been dabbling in and thinking it's okay, and the Lord speaks to your heart. And when you cut those off, He is now able to release to you your destiny. But He won't if we have our hands and things that would distract us anyway. Much of your future lies in what we do today in obedience to the Lord, the King of Kings. And I want you to know that as we come to the cross today and we take communion, you will be reminded that the obedience of Jesus to His Father released our blessings and our future. And then He hands that to us. And He gives us the bread to say, your blessings will be in you taking part in what the kingdom's all about. And you will make errors, but here's a cup of forgiveness. And like Abraham, to make that switch back. And when you do and your heart is corrected, I'm able to now bless the nations because of your obedience today. That is a wonderful piece of good news. How many of you need that opportunity often to return to the Lord? Would you raise your hand? Then today is that day. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a decision that will affect your eternity. That'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. Say yes to Him and watch what He unfolds.
You have just heard a message entitled, Your Future is in Today, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.